This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Saltro Fungicide Seed Treatment from Syngenta for consistently superior sudden death syndrome protection without the stress.
It's a report day. Cattle on Feed report was just released, and I hope it had some good news in it because the cattle market is working on an upside breakout, and I'd hate to see anything get in the way of that market. And the grains, yeah, they traded too, I think.
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll talk with Scott Varlick from Coima Varlick. And in the fourth and final segment, I will have the Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. And now, hey, how about the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory?
Hey, thank you so much, Davis. Really appreciate it, man. It's Friday. Yeah. Hey, let's get into the weekend, huh?
I am ready, my friend. I don't know about you, but yeah, it feels like it's time.
Yeah. Do you still have what you had this morning so that we can give a shout-out to Wiesmeyer?
You know what? No. Oh. There'll be no more shout-outs. I've been working the whole entire rest of the day to try and get that out of my head. There will be no more shout-outs.
Come on,
no.
One more.
No. Ah. Absolutely not. Ah. Absolutely not.
We got game three of the Nats and the Astros going on tonight in Washington, D.C. Jim Wiesmeyer will be reporting live, I'm sure, via text directly to my in basket on my phone all night long.
Yes, and he'll be more than happy to do that, I'm sure. Yeah.
I'm sure he's already got the text all written.
You think?
Yeah, he's just waiting to hit send.
That could seem right.
That's the way he is, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Herr Wiesmeyer is always prepared.
That's right. That's right. some heavy rains going on down. Nah, they've moved out of Oklahoma and East Texas. Right now, they are over into Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, pushing into the southeast. But the rest of the country, Davis, right now is looking pretty good, and it looks like it's going to stay that way until we get to about, so maybe Sunday night, Monday morning. But for the first time, we may have some blue on the radar over us here.
Now I'll play it. If you're going to talk that way, I will play it.
I love it.
I wasn't going to do it, but...
But the talk of the Wintrimix.
Radio edit.
Yeah. We're going to radio edit all over that kind of talk. No thank you.
Oh, good grief. All right. We're going to talk with Scott Varlick coming up here in a little bit. We'll get an idea of what the cattle on feed report said from Scott, and we'll take a look at what's going on in the cattle market and what's going to be moving prices, I think, between now and the end of the year. Boy, if we can get an idea on that, and if those back month contracts can hold on to what is a pretty decent premium to the nearbys, that would be encouraging for this market as well.
Did you say cattle market?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. You see,
now we're up to speed.
You just had to turn the volume up, didn't you?
I had to shut it down and reboot it.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Technology is great until it isn't.
You've got the Friday Farm Fuel and Fertilizer Report at the end of the show for us, right?
Yes. If you're paying attention, we talked last week about something important to do this week. Yep. While we wouldn't wish for this week's price action, it does give us some level of comfort that maybe we did actually do the right thing last week.
Good.
We'll talk more later. Yeah.
So we must be seeing things moving to the upside. We'll talk about it at the end of the show.
Roger that.
All right, man, get into the news. What's going on?
Chip, export demand for wheat was back in the spotlight this week with global trade happenings at levels at as much as $9 per metric ton above trades that happened just 2 weeks ago. That's about 25 cents per bushel. Unfortunately, most of the business was done from origins outside of the U.S. Now, fortunately, U.S. wheat futures have in fact followed those gains in global wheat export prices. Some of the focus of the market next week will turn to USDA's first crop condition report of the fall for the winter wheat crop. December hard red futures were 3.25 cents higher, 4.22¾. December soft red futures firmed 1¾ cents to 5.17¾. December spring wheat softened 3¼ cents to 5.36¾.
Yeah, you know, those U.S. futures, not only did they follow the strength in the global export market, they kind of ran out in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
And this week we had December SRW futures off 14.5 cents, HRW futures off 11 cents, and spring wheat December futures off 7.75 cents from last Friday's close. So we were out in front of those gains in the global market just a bit, but all in all, it's not been a bad month for this wheat market.
There have been some disruptions in corn harvest this week, but the forecast calls for mostly dry weather this weekend. There is a chance for rains on Monday, and the first wintry mix in the middle of the Corn Belt slides into the forecast for later next week. Longer term, traders are looking for widespread aggressive harvest through the first few days of November. Demand continues to stymie rally attempts in the corn market as well. Razor-thin profit margins for ethanol producers. And export bookings pace that is nearly 50% behind the year-ago pace made it tough to build upside price momentum in corn. December corn futures were steady at 386 and three quarters. March corn slipped a half cent, 397 and a half. May corn, 404 even. That's down just a half cent today. Another major yawn in the corn market action today, Chip.
Yeah. Yeah, can I say it, though?
Yes.
There he is again, Davis Michelson, proving that it's important to put the right emphasis on the correct syllable.
Agri-talk!
Love it. Love it. Yeah. We're going to – harvest progress is going to be significant here over the next 72 hours, something like that. I think that's part of the reason that this market had some difficulty working to the upside today. Just there was some pre-weekend hedging going on in here. I don't think there's any doubt about it.
I was driving my son to school this morning, and we're driving through farm country, and he said, isn't it time that they should be out in combines? Shouldn't they be picking this? I said, yes. Yes, they should, son.
That's right.
Some of the June-planted beans in the middle of the Corn Belt were harvested this week and, as expected, are generally yielding below the earlier planted beans. That's one source of support for bean prices. The next source is growing optimism that phase one of the U.S.-China trade deal will actually happen and will actually turn into Chinese purchases of U.S. soybeans. Traders, however, are not satisfied with sales. They want those sales to leave the country before they'll believe a deal is getting done. More optimistic market watchers are warning skeptics that export demand for beans in the last 6 weeks of the year will be the best Chinese for demand for U.S. beans in 2 years.
Yeah.
November bean futures 13 cents lower, 920 and a quarter. Jan beans fell 12 and a half, 934 and a half. March beans closed at 946 and three quarters, down 11 and three quarter cents. Oof.
Yeah, supplies getting tight out of Brazil. There's no question about that.
Position evening ahead of the cattle on feed report pushed short positions to the sidelines. Along with a firm tone in the cash cattle market and solid gains in boxed beef prices, live cattle futures ended the week with solid gains. December live cattle, $1.35 higher, 116.07 and a half. Feb cattle gained 102 and a half, 121.07 and a half. Novi feeders gained $1.20 to close at 145.37 and a half quickly. After persistent selling in lean hog futures early this week, lean hog futures saw a slight bounce into the end of the week. Two big factors continue to dominate hog trade. One, record large hog slaughter and Chinese pork demand is number two, or at least the anticipation of bigger Chinese pork demand. These hogs 37 and a half higher, 64.92 and a half. Feb hogs off 12 and a half cents, 73.35. Chip.
Total number of cattle on feed on October 1, down 1% from a year ago. Placements in the month of September up 2%. Marketings in the month of September down 1%. What's it all mean? We'll find out from Scott Varlick, Coima Varlick Trading, up next, right here on AgriTalk. One of the most damaging soybean diseases, sudden death syndrome, causes an estimated annual loss of more than 25 million bushels in the U.S. Since disease pressure can vary from year to year, growers continue to look for the best option to protect against the disease. Today, we're continuing our conversation with Dale Ireland, Syngenta Seed Care Technical Product Lead, about Sultro fungicide seed treatment, the recently registered soybean seed treatment for superior SDS protection that is available for the 2020 growing season. Dale, what's the connection between sudden death syndrome and soybean cyst nematode?
Well, that's really a hand-in-glove relationship. Normally, when you have your worst sudden death syndrome, there is a nematode involved. And across the U.S. Midwest, the soybean belt, that's generally the soybean cyst nematode for a couple reasons. One is when those early nematode attacks on the roots are occurring, they're opening up that root system that potentially could be infected by the fusarium that causes sudden death syndrome. There's also the plant parasitic side, that where you have a plant parasite parasitizing that plant, stressing it, and it makes it more susceptible to sudden death. So usually when you have the worst SDS, you have a nematode also involved. Sultro has activity on both SDS as well as nematodes.
Very good. Very good. Dale, if I'm using Sultro, what can I expect?
You can expect a statistically significant 3-bushel advantage under heavy SDS and a 1.8 bushel advantage over the leading competitor under just a broad acre situation. And without the stress and with better protection against nematodes as well as sudden death syndrome.
Very good. Thank you so much, Dale. That is Dale Ireland, Syngenta Seed Care Technical Product Lead. For more information on Sultro, head over to SyngentaUS.com/Sultro.
No matter what you do, you're always raising the bar, trying to do better than ever. Dalaro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you get the edge you're looking for. Dalaro has a broader spectrum of disease control and best-in-class dual mode of action residual. Plus, it improves plant health, so your top-performing hybrids and varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve your personal best yields. Dalaro from Bayer. Keep raising the bar. Always read and follow label instructions.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019, in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
Attention oxygen users. Are you on oxygen therapy and still using tanks? Life is hard enough struggling to breathe. Don't waste your breath on dealing with bulky, dangerous tanks.
Call 800-513-4698 now.
And try the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator risk-free for 30 days. Tanks are a hassle. They hamper mobility and are difficult to transport, not to mention risky. The Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator is compact and makes its own oxygen, making your life easier. If you call right now, we'll send you a free information kit that outlines all the benefits. Plus, you can get a 30-day risk-free trial to see for yourself. But don't wait. This exclusive radio offer won't last. Call for your free information kit on the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator. Ditch the hassles of tanks and experience the freedom of living a mobile life again.
Call 800-513-4698. That's 800-513-4698. 800-513-4698.
You can't see them, but they're coming for your soybeans. Pythium, Phytophthora, and soybean cyst nematodes are serious threats, and they require serious seed protection. Valent USA has developed a 1-2 punch defense so growers can take the next step in soybean protection. Intego Sweet Soybeans has 4 powerful modes of action against insects and diseases that work in tandem with Aveo EZ Nematicide to stop soybean pests and diseases before they strike. Find out more at soybeanprotection.com. Always read and follow label instructions.
Get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson back in the studio in Sparkle City. Hey.
Well played, Carl, with the Bulls on Parade. Good stuff.
Yeah. Like it.
The studio cows like it as well. They're very excited.
Davis, I forgot to do something during the news there. The weekly change in December corn.
Yeah.
D's corn was off 4.25. November beans off 13.75 cents.
Which most of that softness in beans was today.
Today. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, 13 down in the Novi. All right, go on. I'm sorry.
D's live cattle up $2.45. November feeder cattle up $2.52.5. And D's lean hogs.
I'm afraid of this one.
Yeah, down 302.5. I honestly thought it was going to be worse than that.
I did too.
It just felt heavy all week.
Yeah.
Really did. All right, let's bring in Scott Varlick, Coima Varlick Trading. How are you, Scott? It's good to talk with you again.
Hey, I'm doing great, gentlemen. How about yourselves?
Doing just fine. Let's talk about this cattle on feed report. If I've got the numbers right, We're looking at total number of cattle on feed on October 1 off 1%, placements in September up 2%, and marketings in September down 1%. That the total number of cattle and calves on feed on October 1 lines up pretty well with the trade expectations, didn't it?
Yeah, everything lines up pretty well, and I was trying to read through it and see if I could find anything, and so I had to kind of text into the office, see what they thought. Yep, sharply neutral is the analysis for it. So,
see, Davis, I'm not the only one that uses that.
I'm fractionally impressed.
So, yeah, nothing really jumps out. It's not going to be a market mover, and I think that's the biggest thing you're hoping for when you got a nice uptrending market like this. You're just hoping you don't run into a hiccup anywhere. And expected to maybe have the placements up a couple. You've had some lower numbers the last couple reports, and we expect it to be up this month, and probably the next report as well is probably also going to be that way. So I don't have anything in it that's jumping out. Weight breakdown, kind of right across the board what we were expecting there. So
okay. Feeder cattle demand, really, it feels pretty decent yet, isn't it?
It's been pretty good. You know, the guys that waited, I think, are doing better just because the cash, when you're in August and everybody's looking for feeder calves, everybody's got empty yards. There's just not a lot of them around, and now we've got, you know, more ample supply to choose from here, and you've got a board that just rallied $18, so gives you a little bit more options on the board to kind of look at to do. So you're willing to maybe stick your neck out there just a little more than you had been. And now over the next couple weeks here, I'm hearing we've got a lot of balling calves that are going to hit us in the next 2 weeks. Yep. So it's going to be a true test to the market to see if we can hold on, if we've got enough buyers to help find a place for all of those. The feed yards, in the most part, they've been beat up for the last year and a half. We haven't had a lot of positive closeouts here, and it's been a long stretch, a long, brutal stretch. And so about three turns in a row of negative closeouts, so they're going to be a little bit more gun-shy, and it's going to have to work a little better than what it has in the past. The board has certainly given us a better opportunity here, but, yeah, a lot of calves coming in the next 2 weeks. I think it's going to be a good sign to see how they sell and what the demand's looking like.
Yeah. Yeah, the feed yards are probably looking for those big-framed, heavier calves, right, than what they have in the past, aren't they? And the good news is I think there are going to be some available.
Yeah. Yeah, there certainly is. And there was a ample grass supply, quite a bit of grass around. So that held everything out on pastures a little bit longer. For the most part, the calves have been coming in a little lighter. A lot of these country sales, you know, calves are showing up lighter than expected. But, everybody's always looking for something you can get gone in that March, April, May time frame. So there's always a good demand for anything that's going to be finished in that time frame right there.
Right. Okay. Well, Scott, you said it. This market has looked awfully good here the last couple of weeks, and we had another $2.50 gain in the D's. What do you make of the overall health of the live cattle market? And when I talk about that, obviously it looks like we've got the momentum going in the right direction, but what about open interest? What about the participation in the market, volume, stuff like that? Is it a healthy market?
Yeah, it's been quite the head-scratcher. You know, you obviously break when the fire happens, and now we're on this nice, steady recovery. And the first, you know, $15, I guess it'd almost be $12 of this rally, open interest was decreasing on the way up. And you thought, well, I guess the funds aren't really participating. It didn't look like on the commitment of traders that they were really getting long, but it just continued to creep higher on decreasing open interest. We got that down to the open interest level down to 300,000, which is always a little bit of a line in the sand. You go under that, this market starts to act a little bit on the wild side. You have a little bit more of the limit ups and limit downs, so starting to get a little bit nervous, and now it's picked up steam a little bit. The funds have entered at this point to kind of confirm, hey, this thing is on a little bit stronger ground than what we thought. So, and also, you're not running into hedge pressure on the way up. There wasn't a lot of producers looking to try to sell the market to try to hedge. It's not really at their break-even price yet. So I think that's a big reason you didn't see a bunch of new hedges, a bunch of sale orders coming in on the way up. There's nobody really trying to jump in front of this thing and lock in some profits because they're just not there yet.
Okay. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. You know, should this market be running into a little bit more hedge pressure than what it has? Because I don't know. Boy, it still feels like an iffy market to me. I don't want to sound too negative on cattle because I'm really impressed what this thing is doing right now. When you consider the fact that it's not all that it's kind of an unusual move for this time of the year, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, when you get $18 and stochastics, they've been overbought for a month. Pretty much all the way through. I mean, usually when you get overbought, you got some warning signs, and that has not been the sign. But yeah, the old saying, the trend is your friend, has mattered the most. I mean, and you've got a pretty tight little trend line there. You know, you can draw that right up on the chart, and I don't really, you can almost wait to see if that's going to break. Once that line breaks, then you can start to say, okay, maybe I better look at something. But sometimes fall rallies can be bigger than spring rallies. And this one is proving that to be true. So it's kind of a market where you're going to want to play it with the top side open for now until it proves you otherwise.
Yeah. Okay. On the feed yard side, you said three negative turnouts in a row, or closeouts in a row. I mean, that can ruin anybody's attitude when it comes to feeding cattle. But I think the overall attitude in here, Scott, is that they anticipate some better times in the very near future.
Oh, I think you're exactly right. And a perfect example of that is when this market was down in the gutter, you could buy some options, trying to buy calls, because we all thought this thing was going to get better as we get closer to the plant reopening, with the demand where it's at, packer margins where it's at. Certainly a lot of optimism out there, and you were able to buy calls when it was down in the gutter, and it's rallied all this way back, and you go back to check on your calls to say, hey, geez, I must be looking really good, and you're only about a dollar ahead. They really didn't grow that much. They held a pretty good premium all the way down there because a lot of us were believing that it's still possible. We still think we're going to come back to these levels, and now it proved it to be so, and yeah, the options really didn't grow all that much. It was almost expected, even though it was under a dollar. It was almost expected that, hey, we're going to be back above 120 and challenge even north of that. So, and here we
are. Okay, this next topic, I want to hit it quick, and I waited until the end of the segment so that we'd have a time limit on it. How in the world, we had the fire out in Holcomb, we had to relocate 5-6% of our daily slaughter. We had an explosion in Dakota City, and all of a sudden 5200 needed to go someplace, or Dodge City, 5200 had needed to go someplace else, and we found room for them in a shackle tight market. It seems to me like demand for cattle ought to be better than what it is.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. You dangle $500, $700 head care in front of a packer, they're going to try to find a way to get it done. But
yeah,
it's certainly shifted the cash market and how it's working. They had to find a lot of homes for the formula traded cattle. So when you look at Kansas numbers, you got a big increase. 106 since the plant fire, 116% on direct sales of formula traded cattle, and they were down 62% on negotiated, which they're mostly formula anyway. But what it is, it kind of hurt the guys in the north. You look at Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, you're only cash negotiating 69% in Iowa, 63% in Nebraska. So we potentially could have some cattle backed up, but major shift, and the cash negotiated guys kind of had to suffer for it a little bit.
Gotcha. Scott, I'm enjoying this. Good grief. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the supply side, what we're doing with these animals, what kind of weights are we taking them to, and we got to hit the demand side. And, of course, what about that hedge plan? What's it look like?
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success, like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
It's time for AgriTalk's Tech Talk. Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Bott joins us now. Dan, what's the market move that matters the most today?
Hey, Chip, I'm looking at December gold futures today. Gold rallied from late spring into late summer, with the December contract climbing from $1,290 per ounce in early June to a September high at $1,566. However, persistent U.S. economic strength and reduced trade tensions with China have apparently undercut prices over the past 6 weeks. In fact, East gold had slipped back under 1500 in mid-October. Nevertheless, it rallied late this week and reached 1520 at today's high, only to close rather weakly at 1505. Topping 1500 will encourage bulls looking for a resumption of the big mid-year surge, but to close below 40-day moving average and short-term trend line resistance means they're not out of the woods yet.
All right. Good stuff, Dan. Thank you so much. Have a good weekend. That is Pro Farmer's Senior Economist, Dan Vaught. Pro Farmer members, get your daily advice updates at profarmer.com.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous 1 month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Sweet strawberry icing. You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket, you spot miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019 in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
I'm Zach Johnson, a row crop farmer in Minnesota.
And I'm Mitchell Hora, a farmer in Iowa.
Agriculture has to feed a growing population, and many people want us to pull that off without messing up the environment. So how do we do that?
We're trying to figure that out on our podcast, Fieldwork. Check us out on the AgriTalk app and learn more at fieldworktalk.org.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Lonely shadows following me. Lonely ghosts come a crawling.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. We're talking with Scott Varlick from Coima Varlick Trading up in Sioux Center, Iowa. Before we get back to the conversation with Scott, let's get a recap of what happened in the markets today from Davis.
Chip, December hard red futures 3.25 cents higher, 4.22 3/4. December soft red futures firmed 1 3/4 cents to 5.17 3/4. December corn futures were steady at 3.86 3/4. March corn slipped a half cent to close at 3.97 1/2. Let's see. I don't have my bean quotes on this page. Here we go. November. Oh, geez. I'm sorry. I looked. November bean futures, 13 cents lower, 9.20 1/4. January beans fell 12.5 cents to 9.34 1/2. I don't know whose idea that was. December cattle, $1.35 higher. Novi feeders up 1.20 to close at 1.45 37 1/2. And December hogs were 13. 57.5 cents higher. That's 37.5 cents higher. 64.92.5. I'm in complete disarray here, Chip. Get me out of here.
It's okay. I know you're probably busy getting ready for the Friday Farm Fuel and Fertilizer Report, right?
So many words. So many words.
That's right. That's right. Scott Varlick, Coima Varlick Trading up in Zoo Center, Iowa. Once again, I just want to give a recap of the cattle on feed report. Total number of cattle on feed on October 1, down 1% from year-ago levels. Placements in September up 2%. Marketings in September down 1%. And as Scott said earlier, sharply neutral in the cattle on feed report today. Hopefully that won't do anything to take the momentum out of the market that we've got going right now. Scott, with the negative returns that we saw in the feed yard business, and boy, I don't know if it was the first negative turn or the second one, but it was one of those two. It was hard to take. I mean, $250-$300 a head, right?
Yeah, we've sure seen some that high.
Yeah,
coming down, but everybody's a little beat up right now.
Right. Has it changed the way that they're feeding animals?
It can. It certainly can. And then, you know, you have ethanol plants down as well. That can change things as well. But, changes the way you feed them a little bit. You can start to fight the market just a little bit if you're not getting the price you want. It's been okay. I won't say we're in trouble here this year. Guys have been actively selling here. But also, as you look to bring cattle in with the wet year we've had, yard conditions, poor shape, also kind of a drag on the attitude there, and almost waiting for some of that Canadian concrete to show up and get the ground froze up so you can kind of get to work in those yards just a little bit better. But, attitude's just a little bit of rough shape right now.
Yep. What's it done to the cattle weights?
We're on the increase. That's a kind of a seasonal trend anyway right now. This week, we just climbed above year-ago levels on the steers. That's the first time we've seen that in this fall run. We're still feeling like we're fairly current. That's been okay. We are selling. But you get a little nervous when you look at the markets and you say, okay, we've got a little bit of a tiered market here where we've had these cattle $6 over October cattle for quite some time. And then you look out to Feb and it's another $5 to $6.
Right.
Pretty good incentive there to hold them back.
Yeah.
So we're going to be keeping a real close eye on these cattle to see, okay, are we holding them back? If we're down on negotiated cash in the north, or are we just kind of fighting it and holding on and looking for a bigger premium? So maybe most of the rally has happened just from that standpoint with all that incentive hanging out there.
So why have we tiered this thing up like you described, Scott? I don't think it's anticipation of tighter supplies. It's got to be because of anticipated better demand out of those countries that are dealing with African swine fever, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think that always kind of is in the back of everybody's mind. I don't know if it gets talked about enough in the cattle market with the world protein supply and the fact that, hey, we're maybe going to get an opportunity to shift some more across, but even just our domestic demand alone has been outstanding. So they're just kind of dangling some carrots. They do want some more cattle for that time frame, and I think you're going to get another plant online here. You know, once we get Fort Holcomb going again, you can also throw that into the mix. So, you know, a lot of things that kind of going well for that time frame.
Well, and the implementation of the U.S.-Japan trade deal, when that happens, we're going to be on solid footing with Australia and New Zealand, and that should bring us some more demand from Japan.
Yeah, it sure will. And that's already one of our biggest customers. It's not like it's a new market where we got to kind of get used to it. No, they're already getting our beef. They love it. They want it. And we're raising the good stuff. So that's really going to help us out there.
You know, the average consumer in the U.S. doesn't think about it. But when, you know, for the people that listen to AgriTalk, of course, they know this. But it's for those going to the meat case, competing, it's not just competition for supplies moving in and out of the urban areas. We're talking about competing with a consumer in Tokyo, Japan, for the right cuts of meat and what we're looking for out here. It's kind of an exciting time, and it feels like we're right on the edge of something big happening on the demand side for all the protein, like you were alluding to there.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think we have the supply, the availability,
yep,
ability to raise it, and a quality product. Just getting us into those markets fairly is something that could be huge for the industry. I think really needs that shot in the arm. And I really think it's going to happen. So I think we've got some brighter days ahead, and I feel really great about the long term here.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and domestically, the beef market continues to show that U.S. consumers have pretty dang good taste in beef, because the choice is pretty stiff against the select.
Yeah, over $25,
yep,
and just maintaining that for quite some time here.
Yeah.
So that incentive to raise the quality cattle is growing. I think the people in the north are starting to adjust to this a little bit. I notice a pretty good increase in grid sales. Guys choosing to sell their cattle on the grid.
Okay.
It's always been one of those things, just even in the last 5 years. I mean, it's really picked up the last two significantly. Everybody was a little scared of it. Well, what are the discounts? I'm going to get discounted too hard. Yield grade fours, how does this work? I think everybody was just a little bit scared, but those people that were scared are starting to say, maybe I should try this a little bit. And as more and more people try it, others keep hearing about it. Others keep doing it. There's some really nice premiums to be had there right now with the Choice Select spread there. And also, when you're worried about those discounts, selling more cattle on the grid is going to keep us more current as well, because you are worried about making them too big and you don't want to get hit with the discount. So really could help us out. In the South has been selling on the grid a lot more often than we have, trying to create incentive down there. But I think we have a lot of catching up to do up here. The fact that we're even priced with them down there, that should not be the case to me. I think there's a lot more premiums there to be had.
Gotcha. Okay. I'm just kind of, the wheels are turning in the conversation here. You being a seed stock guy, don't be afraid to say yes to this, okay? That's what I'm saying here. But the genetics that we're putting into that feed yard right now, Scott, they're getting to high choice prime at a better weight than they ever have before. They're carrying themselves better out in the feedlot. This is the sweetest spot in beef genetics that I think we've ever been.
Oh, yes, you're right. Definitely a yes. And just the amount of technology that goes into that, seeing it from the seed stock perspective.
Yeah.
I mean, DNA testing every critter on the place and the genomics and all the money they throw into that to raise higher quality beef is amazing. I mean, it blows your mind a little bit. I've only been away for, a little over a decade, and when I come back, I'm scratching my head. I'm a little bit lost.
Yeah.
Just the amount of technology that's thrown into making a better product there.
I'm going to give you 20 seconds to answer this. Are you in the cattle business or the beef business?
Well, long term, it is a beef business, but I'm a cowboy at heart. I do love my cows, so
I love it.
I do enjoy that part.
Excellent. Okay, we don't have a whole lot of time left for this, but I still got to ask you, when you look out to those winter months, spring month of 2020, do you feel like you need to get any coverage in place?
I'm doing very little hedging, it seems like, right now. Okay. We're only just getting to the break-even areas here. I like the way it looks. I kind of want, like I said, want to have a top side open here. I can watch that trend line before I start to get a little bit nervous, but the amount of hedging that's going on is very, very minimal, and I think that's okay. Some of these puts really hadn't got to a price where they were very appealing yet, and they might just start getting there, but definitely wanting to have my top side open.
Okay. And then are you hesitating to fill up a feed yard now?
Oh, I'm definitely looking and filling up some feed yards right now. So
booking the feed to go right with it?
it's booked already probably, so I'm probably some of it too high, but it is booked. So no, I like the long-term outlook of the cattle. We're just at that tipping point in the cattle cycle to where you look at this heifer slaughter, and it is very appealing here. You've got a 6.3% increase in heifer slaughter again. The last 2 weeks, we've had 40%. Steer-to-heifer slaughter hasn't been that high since 2013 on a weekly number, and we just had it back-to-back. So,
wow. Scott, I got to stop myself from between the times that you're on the show, I'd have you on every week if I could, but I just can't do it. It's not fair to you. It's not fair to listeners, but I love the conversations that we have.
Oh, I really appreciate you guys having me on.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019, in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe.
My linchpin, or my real love, is crop production agriculture. For lots of reasons. I mean, you can see the job from start to finish. You can have your kids ride with you in the seat. You can, you know, and it sounds cheesy, the theory of feed the world, but I mean, it is where it starts. It starts at the dirt, needs a bit of sun and rain, and then after that, it's kind of our jobs to ensure that everybody gets fed one way or another. Yeah, so I think the overriding kind of base starts with this goal of blackjack farming, in that, you know, I enjoy gambling, and I enjoy blackjack, and you can get the cheater card at the casino that basically says, you know, if you have a king and the dealer has an eight, here's what you should do. Well, in order to create that card for farming, we need to collect all this data. So the first step, well, not only collect the data, but then be able to tell the people what the odds of making the right decision are. Because there's only a certain number of decisions that don't get made by the card that come up to us, of which we just check yes or no on our phone, because the data is already there. It's not should we go spray this with fertilizer tonight? It's crop intelligence is telling us we have 12 bushels more potential than what we've applied nutrients for. They're projecting rain for tomorrow morning, and our leaf wetness sensor is already at 4,200 ppm. You know, we've got people with room on their shifts still. Yes, you should put fertilizer on tonight. And document that if those three things are ever met again, it's just the blackjack card, you don't have to ask me. That's the whole theory on, if I can run the farm from my phone or computer, it's more or less, can we get this blackjack card built so that the decisions can be made correctly as much of the time, whether our management team is here or not? And two, do we have processes in place so that whether it's myself or one of our guys running the unit, that there's a 99% chance it's gonna get done just as good? So let's make sure we have the people that are really good at those jobs doing those jobs. It's a lot of function of just a growth in business, and really, I think it's that mindset of one, growth is good, and two, change has to be acceptable.
Sweet strawberry icing. You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket you spot. miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. Private healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910.
When you're really hungry, sometimes only the leftovers can fill you up. We're serving up a big portion of Tuesday's meatloaf right now on AgriTalk.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate that comment out there on Twitter.
I was going to mention that, too.
Yeah, I enjoy talking to Scott, too.
Yep.
Very much. All right.
We are moving at the speed of life today, aren't we, brother?
We are.
You know, sooner we're telling him how much you enjoy speaking with him than we get a tweet about how much the listeners enjoy hearing from him.
That's right. It's very cool.
What a future we live in.
Speaking of fast pace,
yes.
If you didn't hear this morning's first hour of the free-for-all with Jim Wiesmeyer, Sean Haney, Pam Johnson, me, Davis, that's a good one to listen to. I thought we covered a lot of different ground.
Yep.
We kind of hit it and moved on, and I thought it was really a good conversation on a lot of different levels. So
one thing I would add, part of what added to the excitement, the spontaneity of the conversation, was we had a couple of callers.
Yeah, PJ from Illinois, thank you for calling in.
Absolutely.
Had a caller from Minnesota.
Love that kind of thing. It kind of helps, you know, it kind of helps us paddle the show along if you call with what's on your mind, especially when we've got a panelist like Pam Johnson, Haney, and Wiesmeyer.
Yeah.
I mean, there's really just about nothing we can't answer at that point. Yeah. And if we can't, you know, there's some great BSers on that panel, too.
Professionals. Professional grade. That's right. Just to summarize what Scott was talking about, it's the same that the overwhelming attitude among the analysts that have been on AgriTalk for the last 2 weeks has been, let's be patient. Doesn't really matter if we're talking about grains or livestock. Nobody wants to get too excited about doing anything right now. I don't feel like it's such an overwhelming attitude that everybody's loaded up on one side of the canoe and this thing's getting ready to flip.
Okay.
I don't feel that way because the markets have been very controlled. The markets aren't proving a lot of people right. Cattle are, but the grain markets, they've just been struggling along a little bit. So there may be an opportunity coming up here before too long that we will see a move to the upside, give us a chance to get some more sales on. All right, let's get to it. The Friday Farm Fuel and Fertilizer Report.
Give me five, give me that which I desire.
The Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report is a service of Pro Farmers Inputs Monitor for weekly updated fuels and fertilizer prices from across the Midwest and in your crop district. Visit ProFarmer.com. And now, Chip.
Yippee-ki-yay!
The Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report. This week, let's see, where should we start? Let's start with...
I'd start with either fuel or fertilizer. One of the two.
We're going to start with fertilizers. This week's post titled, Fertilizers Confirm Price Reversal. You may have noticed last week when we opted to book our fertilizers, we felt like that there was a seasonal low in place. Most specifically, we were booking for fall. Spring, we're going to wait. We feel like the off-season there, the wholesale markets are really talking to us about lower prices perhaps ahead, or at least prices below the harvest highs. Mm-hmm. So we're going to wait on for spring, but we should be caught up on our fertilizer needs for fall, be that P and K, be that nitrogen, whatever it might be.
And don't be patient there. If you need to get it, get it.
Yep, get her done. Yeah. And this week, like I said, we titled the post Fertilizers Confirmed Price Reversal, and it's not a huge rush to the upside this week. In fact, our nutrient composite index is up 0.50 points, still well below year ago and the five-year average. We're at 568.48. Last year this week, we were at 581.21. Five-year average is like 600. Mm-hmm. So at 568, I feel like we're in pretty good shape. Meanwhile, expected new crop revenue, and we don't talk about the relationship here quite so much, but I peg it at 677.60 as of last Friday. That was on a steady DEES futures, DEES 20 futures close at 410. That was unchanged on the week. And so we gained a little bit in our overall nutrient prices, but we're steady in corn at least, and so our gap is still favoring buyers
right
in the fertilizer prices. On the fuels, upside risk revived in fuels. Last week we talked about EIA said, don't worry about it. It's going to be a warm winter. Right. Heating oil, propane, don't worry about it. Propane, you should have worried about it about a month ago when we bottomed there, and I'm hoping that you are 100% filled on your needs. You've got your on-farm supplies topped off. We just don't want to get caught with our propane down this winter should there be some sort of event. And, gosh, what do you suppose are the chances 2019 bleeds into 2020 with weird weather? I don't know. Could it happen? Maybe. Who knows? We're up 3 cents on diesel. We're up 3 cents on propane this week. I'm not too concerned. We're 50% filled on farm diesel for harvest, but are content proceeding hand to mouth. We are starting to look for upside risk, however, in farm diesel, and we're going to keep an eye on that. We're watching heating oil futures. I'm nervous around $2 on the November contract, but we're at 197.75 today. Look out to April 20 heating oil futures, we're down at 189.5. So the spreads there kind of are working in our favor. So really nothing to do this week unless you haven't purchased your fall fertilizer, in which case get on the stick. Fuels, we're waiting, but farm diesel is definitely on our radar. Chip.
Gotcha. Hey, I want to say this about fertilizer prices real quick. Since Davis has started doing this inputs monitor, you guys, the trend in fertilizer prices has been top left of the chart to the bottom right of the chart.
That's right.
That is not going to be the case going forward. If you've ever thought about getting anybody to help you track what fertilizer prices are doing, help you to figure out what is needed to be done when it needs to be done.
Yeah.
The guy that shows up every day to talk to me twice a day is who you should be talking with.
Well, and it's easy. You know, you don't even have to listen to me or read what I write. Maybe you think I'm full of it. You can check your own prices in your crop district on the handy map. Shameless plug there, but go to profarmer.com and click on the handy map.
Yeah, no, that's...
Thank you for that, Chip. Thank you, Chip.
Absolutely right.
It's very kind.
The information that Davis has got has never been more important than what it is right now. Thank you for listening today. Thank you, Davis. Thanks, Scott Barlick. Monday morning, Chuck Grassley on AgriTalk.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-806-9013.
That's right, annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and annuity rate report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-806-9013. That's 800-806-9013.
Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Thanks to Syngenta, producers of Saltro fungicide seed treatment, for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer today about reserving your supply for 2020. Always read and follow label instructions.